Sometimes, even in this amazing job of ours, where we don't even really work, you have to do things you don't like. And here on the Sports Cubicle, with the marvelous one, Dan Marver, with Devin Single, Paul Shavari, I'm Mike Mercado, whatever. I guess we got to talk about baseball in Chicago. Fine. Okay. Whatever. Devin, go.
Oh, where do you want me to go here? I mean, right
I
now,
I don't care.
I'm in somewhat of a good mood right now, Mercado, because the White Sox took 2 out of 3 from the New York Yankees of all teams. And you want to know the really fun thing about the White Sox? If you take the White Sox record and flip the wins and losses, they're almost identical to the New York Yankees wins and losses. That doesn't mean the White Sox are a good team here. It just means the Yankees are a really good team. So we're able to take 2 out of 3 here. And of course, you know, my main man, Lucas Giolito, went six innings, not allowing a single hit. We could have the second no-hitter, but they pull him. And, you know, Joe Kelly goes another inning without hits and then gives another one. But again, as I always say, I'd rather my team go 162-0 than have any no-hitters, no perfect games, any of that stuff. They're right now, they're facing the Marlins. The Marlins are a very bad team. It is very bad baseball. If we were to go to Florida right now, the three of us could start for the Miami Marlins in any position here because, oh my goodness, that fielding is atrocious.
Easy, easy.
The fielding is atrocious, Marver.
The Marlins swept the Cubs.
Oh, man, that's sad. I'm sorry.
Stop that, Marver. Stop that.
No team should be losing to the Marlins or the Oakland Athletics, but we're not based out of California or Florida here. So right now it's like the White Sox are in a little bit of an upswing. Yes, they did lose the second game of the doubleheader to the New York Yankees, but come on, 24 hours prior, the sky was orange for crying out loud here. But, you know, it's like we're definitely seeing some things here. The, you know, White Sox are definitely bringing in some, you know, younger guys. Like, where is it? I want to make sure I get the numbers exactly right for my boy Clint Frazier here, who's, you know, been actually putting up some, you know, decent power hitting numbers here. I don't have his average up exactly in front of me. But, you know, he's even got a stolen base here, but 2 hits in the last game against the Yankees. They lost in a double header. So, I mean, are the White Sox really making me excited about baseball? No, but me and Paul Shavari seem to really into that. What's that thing where you get off getting, like, punched in the face repeatedly? And I feel like that's what it's like being a Chicago baseball or even a Chicago sports fan for the most part here. But we're seeing teams that it's like it looks like the White Sox could be on a small upswing, but I've been following this team for 29 years, and I'm not holding my breath here. So I'm in a little bit of good mood on the south side here. Do we need to go down if we go up to the north side, or you guys want to go up to the north side, or should we just stay down in the south here?
Marver, whatever. Hey, I don't Devin. Care. Blow it up. Talk, Marver. Go at Marver. Very dumb. I don't care.
Well, I think that the Mad Max Orange Haze did the White Sox good. That's all I can tell you. I think they maybe should like do a Bill Veeck thing and have orange smoke going at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Because
I think it was helpful. I think it, their lungs full of that orange stuff was really good. Now, the key to the Cubs, by the way, is that ex-White Sox who's called up today, Nick Madrigal, he's going to be the engine that really gets things going.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Slapping Nicky 2 hits is coming back to the north side of Chicago. Oh, my God, Marver. I understand it's my fault for having expectations, and it's doubly my fault for putting actual money on them in sports bets. Bring in the bulldozer and tear down McDonald's. This Cubs team is bad. It is no longer, oh, it'll even out. They'll win one-run games. They'll do the good stuff. Their pitch, oh, Wesneski and Justin Steele are going to be the future of this organization. When is the future of the organization going to be the now of the organization? When are you going to be competitive in the worst division in baseball? Sorry, the second worst baseball division, because your neighbors in the AL Central have just as bad as one. This is bad baseball. This is embarrassing baseball. This is taking a step back baseball for your organization, because the problem is you've brought up guys already. You've brought up Christopher Morel, who can't touch the lineup. You brought up Matt Mervis, who can't touch the ball. You brought down Nick Madrigal because there's a reason Nick Madrigal was given to you by a team that drafted him in the first round. This team has not been built right, has not been managed right, and now you're hoping that the pitch lab and a bunch of 19-year-olds are going to save your organization 3 to 4 years from now. Shohei Ohtani, you'll be lucky if anybody pays attention to your team in August. Marver, talk something, burn it down. Chuck, can I tell you?
Well, here, I mean, they had a couple guys that were really sparking them. I mean, Horner for a while, and Bellinger is now out indefinitely, it appears. And they were actually producing runs with men on base early on, and they're getting quality starts from Stroman and Steele and, you know, and others.
Shout out to Stroman. You're right. Shout out to Stroman.
So, and here's the thing. In your bad divisions, because of the fact the AL is dominating the NL, you're going to have an 80-something team win both the AL Central and NL Central. So, believe it or not, you're not out of it.
Yeah.
They haven't played Pittsburgh yet, and they're going to play St. Louis in London and get jet lag. But it could be worse. Listen to me. You could be a fan of the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, you're right. And, of course, I'm being facetious. Part of the gimmick. Like, look, we understand it's a team that was only going to win 76 games. They just had a nice April. But, Devin, I'm going to throw it to you, kind of phases out with some White Sox final thoughts. But I think if you're looking at this Cubs team, Marver, this is the one thing where I've disagreed with you, and I think I've been able to finally put into words about the competitive schedule now. I'm glad the competitive schedule exists. I'm glad you no longer get to play your division as much anymore, because now you don't get to fluff your schedule when you have a weak division like the Cubs and White Sox do. Yeah, it's the division you play, and somebody's got to win it. But this false hope of my team won 88 games in the NL Central after you played a bunch of bad teams. No, I want to see what happens when you play a buzzsaw like Shohei Ohtani and you play real teams like the Astros, the Yankees, because we find out who you are. And I'm sick of and tired of teams hiding behind, we don't have to go for it, or we don't have to go at the trade deadline because we play in a bad AL West, for example, or the Astros ran away with it. I want to now see what happens with push, custom, shove. But Marver, you and I will talk about competitive schedule next weekend as the season goes on, maybe during All-Star break. Devin closes out. The White Sox, as of this recording, won 5 straight, loss in that doubleheader over at Apocalypse World in New York City. Again, hopefully everybody on the East Coast is being safe and sound. But go ahead. The floor is yours. Closes out on the South Side.
Well, South Side, it has hope right now. And I will definitely say hope is the best word, because there is some potential here. I mean, Dylan Cease is back to being the Dylan Cease of last year. Lance Lynn is turning into a watered down Rex Grossman, as you have good Lance, bad Lance. You know, Joe Kelly, he started off really, he was very not the Joe Kelly of old last year. He started off really hot this year, had that minor slump. He's kind of back on the upswing. Liam Hendricks is back, and I definitely think that's what's really pushing the team here, is because as they talked about last year, Liam Hendricks, he was that I guess what you call it, the clubhouse king, the guy that just everyone kind of loved having around here. I think his, you know, cancer, him beating cancer or striking out cancer, as the White Sox want put on those t-shirts they like to sell. Gotta love capitalism. You know, definitely a nice thing, kind of helped bring the team morale up a little bit here. And just all around, we got pitching is good. I mean, it's kind of sad that I know Lucas Giolito might be gone at the All-Star break. And I think the White Sox are going to be a lot like the Chicago Cubs in, what was that, 2021, where it's like the moment that big losing streak happened, they decided to, I'm not going to say sell the team, but basically clean house here. And I think that's the way the White Sox are going to go. If they can keep these, you know, good like win streaks up, they'll be fine. And I don't think they're going to officially ever be buyers at the seller. I really don't, because I know Jerry Reinsdorf and Kenny Williams, it might be pulling, you know, Rick Hahn's little puppet strings here, but I don't know here. But this is kind of the way to see this team goes. And this is the year that I think is proven for everyone in management. But as we've talked about before, you can't trust the people in the front office. The team is hitting a little bit better, but come on, you know, they score 6 runs in the first game against the Yankees and then score none here. That's kind of been the White Sox big thing here. They cannot get run support, but our pitching is starting to come back, and that's a good thing. And I'm going to take a little thing from our boy Paul Stivari here because of what you guys are saying. The White Sox won the Kimbrel trade.
I hate you. I hate Paul. I hate baseball. I love Marver, but I love our fans even more. Thank you guys so much. Hopefully everybody enjoyed a wonderful hot Chicago weekend with a lot of baseball, hopefully some winning baseball and some fun NBA finals. You know what I love is not only Liam Hendricks being a stud, but speaking of capitalism, check us out over at Sheets and Giggles. 50% off your purchase. You can lift the sheeting and mattressing. Marver literally calls himself now Marver Eucalyptus Lavender because he's so silky smooth. Make sure you guys check us out there. Shout out to all you supporting us over at Lucha Dog Kickstarter, Lucha Dog. And this is a fun time. It's going to be a crazy week next week. I'm going to be in Vegas for my brother's wedding. Shout out to Alex and Jen. So we're going to get some stuff done. And then the boys will have some stuff throughout the week as well. Four stories later on in the week. And then Devin, Paul, myself, and a bunch of people at WCPT will be working Pride Parade at the end of June. So that'll be a crazy weekend. But as always, we will be keeping you company because you always have to have that lonely people that are always constantly at the bar with you, drinking all the Merlot. For the Marvelous One, Dan Marver. For Devin Single. For Paul Shavari. I'm Mike Mercado.